Good morning, everyone, and I hope that God has given you a wonderful day. Now, let me ask a question to begin our talk today. Do you struggle with doubt? Think about it. Do you struggle with doubt? Well, I hope I'm not the only one that does, because I do have doubts on the occasion. But I believe, listen closely, I believe doubts can be a good thing if properly handled. One pastor said that a faith that is untested is a faith that's not dependable. And that sounds true. Doubts cause us to dig in and search and find answers to our doubts. And because of that, we can become stronger and stronger in our faith. So I believe doubts are good. Well, today, we're going to look at a man who did doubt. And Jesus responded in a very particular way to deal with his doubts. But before we get into him, let's let John set the scene. Let's get back to Resurrection Day, John chapter 20, verse number 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." The disciples are scared. Jesus had just been crucified. The Jews were on a rampage. So the disciples gathered in a home, locked the doors, nobody's coming in. Then Jesus walks right into the room without using the door. I bet that would mess your mind up pretty bad. Anyway, he says, "Shalom," or "Peace be unto you." Verse 20, when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. They saw Jesus. They saw the evidences of his crucifixion. They see him standing there. They hear him. They see him. They touch him. In their minds, it's a done deal. Jesus was crucified, and now he has raised from the dead. After this appearance, Jesus had some important things to say to his disciples. Verse 21. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." Well, this is John's record of the Great Commission. Matthew expands that and says that Jesus told the disciples, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them whatever he has commanded you." Well, that is the gospel. That is the Great Commission that the disciples were supposed to go out and talk about. You may be wondering what the gospel is. Well, the gospel simply is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. His death, and in his death he paid for us, and his resurrection, where he gives us new life in him. And he is the first of the resurrection. Well, I want you to keep that in mind as we move through this next verse. Verse 21. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Well, I believe they just got a touch of what was coming in about 50 days from this point in their life. Now, here's an unusual verse. Verse 23. For if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Do what? Did Jesus just give men the right to forgive sin or to retain sin? Well, me personally, I don't think so, because I believe that contradicts an awful lot of other biblical scriptures. In my mind, we know that only God and his Son can forgive sin. And we know that when Jesus died, He paid for the sin of the world right then and there. So he's the one that did it. Now let's go back to the Great Commission. We're told to go and preach the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if we preach the gospel and people believe the gospel, then we can tell them, your sins have been forgiven based upon what the Bible says. Or if they don't believe, we can tell them, on the authority of Scripture, your sins are not forgiven. You see, John 3:16 is still in the book, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If we believe in Jesus, we can live forever because he's the one who's forgiven our sin. That's my opinion of that verse. Well, you see, this whole thing really is about Jesus. I know people make it a whole lot of things that it isn't, but all of Christianity is about him. Now, let's look at this guy called Thomas, who we nickname Doubting Thomas. Verses number 24 and 25. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. So he said to them, listen to what he says, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. That's a big comment. If I don't see him, and I don't touch him, I will not believe. Pretty emphatic about that, wasn't it? Well, is he right in doing that? Is he right? Well, I think he is. You see, if you have doubts and you don't find answers to your doubts, then your faith is not all that strong. You'll be shaken when things come along. But J. Werner Wallace said, the Christian life is a rational and reasonable life that is rooted and grounded in the evidence of the resurrection and the truth of the Bible. We have the evidences in the Bible. J. Werner did a study called Cold Case Christianity. He did the research on the death, burial, and resurrection from a forensic standpoint. He's pretty convincing. You ought to listen to him. And there's a lot of good people in the Bible that doubted. Abraham and Sarah, they doubted. Moses, Lord, I can't talk. Gideon, he said, Lord, are you sure about this? When God asked him to go and attack the invading army. Even John the Baptist, this amazing John the Baptist, which we've looked at earlier in the Gospel of John, he sent some his disciples and told the Lord, are you the one that's supposed to be coming, or is there another? He was doubting. I guess that's what happens when you've been languishing and imprisoned by yourself. As for Thomas, Jesus gave him what he needed, verses 26 and 27. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. And Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace to you. Peace to you. Then he said to Thomas, watch what he says. Reach your finger here, and look at my hands, and reach your hand here, and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. This is important. Thomas demanded evidences. He wanted to see and touch. Jesus gave him what he asked for. Watch Thomas's response when Jesus did this. Verse 28, and Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. It's a good thing that Thomas doubted and got his evidences, because Christian tradition said that he went off into modern day what's known as modern-day Iran, and he ministered to the Persian Empire. And from there, Christian tradition said he went on into India. So only eternity will be able to tell Thomas's influence. He was even martyred for what he believed in. And you don't die for something that you're doubting. He believed. And why did he believe? All because he demanded evidences, and Jesus gave him that evidence. So doubting can be helpful. If you will ask for help, Jesus will make sure that you get the evidences that you need to believe. But the key is to believe, and to believe completely. Jesus has one more thing that he wants to say to Thomas. Verse 29, Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. That's us. Because Thomas doubted and God gave him the evidences, we now know that we can believe through the testimony of the Gospels. We know that. We don't need to see Jesus face to face or put our hands in his side. We'll see him face to face one day, but not yet. We don't need that. Through the testimony of the Gospels, you and I can have a rock solid faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, let me show you a good place to start if you're looking for evidences. John chapter 20, verses 30 through 31. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. The best place to look for evidences of Jesus, the death, burial, and resurrection is the Gospel of John, which we've just spent the last few months looking at. So there is the evidence. Look if you need to. Now in closing, let me encourage you. Whenever you have doubts, God will give you the evidence that you need to believe. Now I will ask you, act on what he gives you. Act on him. The writer of the book of Hebrews suggests that if we doubt and we don't deal with those doubts, we'll just float around and be knocked around by every opinion that comes this way or that way. So make sure if you have doubts, jump into the scriptures, find your answers, and nail it down where you can have a strong faith. But remember, it's okay to doubt. But the key is to look for the answers and ask God to give you those answers and then act on them where he can solidify your faith. Listen, there's a lot of people today who've had doubts and they walk away. We can see their YouTube videos and read their books. Don't do that. All I'm asking you to do is to secure your faith in the Word of God. Be strong in the Lord. And you and I, let's finish the journey that God has placed before us. And let's do that together. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the day. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the Word of God that we can know for sure about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We can know. Jesus even suggested that. We can know. So help us to get a solid faith. Help us to get strong and move ahead in our Christian walk. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we're going to listen to Lee Strobel as he too talks about doubters.